Very good afternoon to all brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So today is 8 June 2025 Sunday class. We'll be continuing our sharing from this book, the Heart Sutta, second edition, as compiled by me, and we are now at page 134, lesson 23, part 2, I think. Okay, as usual, we will develop the physical puja. Let us compose our mind, develop our faith, sadha, virya. Then mindfully, we shall commence the puja journey. Namo Bensi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bensi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Bensi Sijia Moni Fo. Namo Guan Siying Pu Sa. Namo Guan Siying Pu Sa. Namo Guan Siying Pu Sa. Namo Ami Tho Fo. Namo Ami Tho Fo. Namo Ami Tho Fo. Namo Mi La Fo. Namo Mi La Fo. Namo Mi La Fo. Namo Yao Si Fo. Namo Yao Si Fo. Namo Yao Si Fo. Namo Pu Xian Pu Sa. Namo Pu Xian Pu Sa. Namo Pu Xian Pu Sa. Namo Di Zhang Wang Pu Sa. Namo Di Zhang Wang Pu Sa. Namo Di Zhang Wang Pu Sa. Namo Fo Pu Sa. Namo Fo Pu Sa. Namo Fo Pu Sa. Arahang Sama Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namasami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Sakkasangho Sanghang Namami. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa. Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Dutiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Buddhang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Dhammang Saranang Gacchami. Tatiyampi Sanghang Saranang Gacchami. Panatipata Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Adina dana veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micchacara veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musavada veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Sura meraya majapama Datana Viramani Sikkhapadang Samadhiyami. Sadhu, Sadhu, Sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Triple Gem. Buddhang Pujemi. Dhammang Pujemi. Sanghang Pujemi. Invocation to the Devas. in this universe, in the entirety, let the deities or devas come here. Let them hear the good teachings of the King of Sages, which gives heaven and release. Nibbana. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. This is the time to listen to the teaching. Samanta Chiakawa Lesu Atra Gachantu Devata Saddhammang Moni Rajasa Sunantu Sakamokkadang Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Dhamma Savanan Kalo Ayang Badanta Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Namo Tassa Bhagavato Arahato Samma Sambuddhassa Iti peso bhagava arahang samma sambuddho Vijja charana sampanno sugato lokavidu Anuttaro purisa dhamma sarati satta deva manusanang Buddho Bhagavati Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo Sanditiko Akaliko Ehipaseko Opanayiko Pachyatang Veditabbo Vinohiti Supatipanno bhagavato sakkasango Ujjupatipanno bhagavato sakkasango Nyayapatipanno bhagavato sakkasango Samichipatipanno bhagavato sakkasango Yadidang chatari purisa yukani Atta purisa pugala Esa bhagavato sakkasango Ahuneyo pahuneyo Dakkineyo Anjali karaneyo Anuttarang punyang ketang Lokasati Sadhu Sadhu Sadhu. Okay, you all can be seated. Then we'll continue from where we stopped. Turn to page 134, section 3.2. There's a Q&A session question. So the subheading is my advice to silence our mind and stay at the heart. So this question was asked by a fellow Kayamitas. The question here is, Brother, you are the only teacher who asks us to silence our mind and stay at the heart. But why no monks or texts ever advise us to focus on the heart area? So that was a question. So my answer is very straightforward. I say, don't worry about what others say. Just investigate and find out for yourself. Do not quote me saying anything, because you may not understand what I mean. Then you may get me and yourself into trouble unnecessarily. If you are not careful, then you may end up arguing with them over methods and techniques again. Just say, "Brad, you only share this Dhamma understanding with us. So no right, no wrong. And we as Dhamma friends or Kanyamitas, just make use of whatever that is useful and conducive for our own cultivation. It is just a sincere way of sharing the Dhamma. And as Dhamma friend walks the path of Dhamma, we are here to sincerely support, motivate, counsel, and help each other to progress along the path of Dhamma without resorting to any appropriate negativity of action, speech, and thought process." So this one is a very important understanding. It is also part of my three conditions before I come out to share. Then I continue, I say, "I only advise those," this one you have to keep in mind, "I only advise those who have developed the ability to silence their mind and rest their awareness at the heart area to feel the gateway to their nature if they have penetrated the direct seeing and stabilized their daily mindfulness." The key is stabilizing your daily mindfulness. If you can be mindful in the midst of life most of the time, and then you can stay at the heart, silent everything, then you will understand and you will make progress. Otherwise, you can just continue with the normal training of the mind to develop the awareness-based meditation to stabilize your inner awareness. So a lot of people who find their mind not easy to tame, to train, because they will come to realize their mind thinks a lot, has a lot of mental hindrance, like fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation, like and dislike. Then sometimes they feel sleepy, the mental hindrance of sloth and torpor. The mind like very lethargic. There is not enough virya to develop the meditation. So all this can be the cause of why this mind think a lot, worry a lot. That's why it trigger off the other mental hindrance, like restlessness of mind. The mind become restless because it has problem in life, issues that are not resolved. There are daily activity that resulted in their inability to come to terms with a lot of realities that happen in life, especially the first noble truth realities. That can trigger off suffering, leading to fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, and lamentation. That's why this restlessness of mind is very common. Most people find it very difficult to settle down their mind. Their mind worry a lot, plan a lot, and keep on arising the thinking. Then the last one is, of course, they are not sure what meditation is. There's a lot of doubt. And when there is doubt, your mind cannot settle down. You lack the spiritual faculty of sadha and virya. So these mental hindrances are the mind state that will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace and inner calmness. That's why most people find it so difficult to silence the mind, to develop the meditative mind. So what they do is, they resort to focusing, concentration, method and technique, methods of meditation or object of meditation, to focus, to concentrate and to anchor their mind so that it does not wanders off and become heedless, so that the heedless thinking can be stopped. Some use skillful means, like mind sweeping method, to decondition the heedless thinking. Some use relaxation, yoga and other things. Then some, they go and exercise until they become very tired, so that they cannot think. Then they can rest and can sleep. So these are all the various skillful means. Some use mantra, chanting, so that they have something to hold on to. These are all skillful means to anchor the mind, so that it is not heedlessly lost in thought. But these are not mindfulness or awareness-based meditation. These are just skillful means to train the mind to be peaceful, to be calm. So because of that, most people teach meditation differently. They have to depend on methods, technique, teachers, and even various type of object of meditation to anchor their mind, to train their mind, to pivot their mind. So that is the reason why. Yeah? So with that, I will read on. Yeah? This meditation is only done by those who have developed the silent mind in pure awareness, without thought, after they have stabilized their daily mindfulness or anapanasati. And also for those who have trained their mind until their mindfulness is so subtle and fine that they can hardly feel anything, like there is no more movement, like everything has become very refined, very fine, very subtle. This is a state where a lot of meditators or cultivators get trapped and stagnate because they don't understand what is happening. Some master or teachers will ask them to do sitting and touching, etc. But if they understand what is happening, then they should stop doing those things. Just like what I have explained under question 1 above. The reason being, the meditator has reached a state where their bodily vibration has become so much refined, so much finer and subtler. Hence, they need to develop the more refined sati or mindfulness to stabilize their mind further, so that their mind is able to stay still and silent on its own, without the need of any dwelling or object of meditation. That is, mind in sati, without any anchor, or the mind has entered sati. To realize this state, they must silence everything and stay at the heart area to detect the gateway to connect to their true nature within, so that their sati will become more refined and stable. Then when they have stabilized their sati this way, they will suddenly realize that they are now able to be mindful of even the very subtle breathing or fine vibration within their heart area, and every movement of mind within their kaya via this awareness or sati is like greatly magnified and in slow motion with a lot of clarity within. All of the movements are like broken down into very fine movement in between. When this stage of cultivation is reached, the mind is very mindful most of the time, in and out of meditation. Even in their daily life, their daily mindfulness will be very different, very clear and very stable, with little or no thought most of the time, and they are constantly aware. A mind in sati is always aware of sense experience. Every hearing, seeing, thinking, etc., with a lot of clarity. And everything is like a flow That is the mind and phenomena coming together and move as one in perfect harmony and synchrony. The meditation using trust is needed when one is able to detect the gateway to this nature within, and this is usually cultivated only by those taking the Bodhisattva way leading to Buddhahood. For more detail, please listen to the recorded sharing, Dhamma sharing. Oh, we finish, yeah? Okay, so this meditation to be done at a later stage, we call it the fourth stage or the fourth support that I share with you all to develop the awareness-based meditation. So basically, to develop the awareness-based meditation, you need four supporting mind state. First is to develop the ability to relax, completely relax body and mind until the whole body and mind is fully relaxed, at ease, without stress, without tension, nothing. So relaxation is key. Ability to relax will allow the mind to settle down so that within your physical body, physically, there is no stress, no tension, no tightness, nothing. You feel very relaxed, at ease, completely at ease. Yeah. Like those who do yoga, eh? Or who do tai chi, when you are mindful in that way, you feel you are very relaxed, at ease. Yeah? No resistance. Then after that, the second support is to just allow the mind to maintain the inner awareness. We have a pure inner awareness that is naturally aware. So maintain the awareness. The awareness is sati, before the knowing, before the perception, before the arising of thought, before the sankhara activity or movement. So when you can be in that state of awareness or sati, stay there. Whatever arises within your five aggregate of form and mind or sense basis, aware, finish. Aware, finish. Don't follow. Don't create any more thinking. When the phenomena arise, it can be at any of the senses, the sense basis. When there is contact with the hearing, smell, taste, tactile, thought or seeing, do not allow the thought to continue to manifest or proliferate. Yeah. And develop more entanglement or thinking. Just silence everything, maintain awareness. Yeah. So first support is relax, then maintain awareness. Then the third support is to stabilize this inner awareness. Means whatever arise, don't try to know, don't try to do anything. Just maintain the awareness. Aware, finish. Or aware, silent. Aware, silent. Until the mind stabilizes. Until it's a free mind. Not thinking. Not moving. Completely silent and still. Where you can realize that stability, it means you have progressed well. Means you have stabilized your sati. When you have stabilized your sati, your mind is a free mind in the state of awareness or sati without any movement at all. It's like the first time in your life you are able to be with this silent mind without thought. And that is your true mind, your meditative mind. And this is the pure awareness nature that is already primordial in the sense that it was there all the time. And this is the nature that arises first from our true nature within, or the Buddha nature, or the oneness nature. That nature is not a being. It cannot come out and live life, but is capable of being aware. So the first thing to manifest from that nature is the pure awareness nature. That's why the four circle formation. The second circle, pure awareness nature. Then from there, all thought process, all thinking arise. And that's what the Buddha meant by mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. Where mind arise, all things arise. So that mind is the mundane mind, the thinking mind, dependent originating mind, condition arising mind. It's not your true mind. Your true mind is complete silence, stillness, without thought, that pure awareness nature. Then you will realize you have two minds. One is the pure awareness nature. The other one is the movement out of there to create the mundane thinking, mundane activity, the emotion, the sensation, the thought process. And through memory, you develop the perception and you stir your mind to your like and dislike, your craving, your preference, your desire. So all these are the movement of activity from the pure awareness nature. Then you start to understand clearly who you are, what you are, and how you function as a human being. How as a human being, we have the physical body with the consciousness trapped inside. Then we have the sense basis where we can create contact. Contact between the consciousness, the sense basis, and the external sense data that can trigger off their respective sense door consciousness. So at the moment of contact, consciousness arises. Initially is the pure consciousness without the egoic mind. That's why the Buddha said in the seeing, it's only the seeing consciousness, no one to see. Hearing also same, smell, taste, tactile and thought process. So this is the basis of arising of thought. From the sense basis, it triggers off the respective sense or consciousness. That at the moment of sense experience, it's only that pure consciousness that surfaces. Then what happens is our brain, our memory has the accumulation of knowledge, has the conditioning, has the views, opinion, belief system, everything accumulated there. And from there, we stir our mind to input the content of consciousness, which is most of the time our like and dislike, our view, based on our views, opinion, conditioning, and belief system. And from there, we act. This is acting according to memory. It's not acting at all. Well, what is memory? Accumulated experiences, good and bad. And most of the time, it is with negative emotion. They call it psychological memory. They are negative, like your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your insecurity, even your sorrow, your lamentation, your phobia, all this you accumulate, and from there you act. Means you act according to these accumulated memories, which are negative in its emotion, or we call it the wrong thought, the negative energy field. And from there, we stir our mind. We become reactive. Then there is no peace. We develop mental hindrance of sensual desire and ill will. If you do that throughout the day, how can you develop the inner peace, inner calmness, the meditative mind? There is some mental hindrance that will hinder your mind from entering the meditative state of inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness. So understand this, then you will know how to meditate. Okay? So now we move on to the next session. Lesson 25. So lesson 25 is a new chapter. This one was shared in the year 2012, September 23rd, at Wu Ping Jing Se Vihara. Okay, part 1.1. Nothing frees your mind except wisdom. And this one you must make a note and make sure you understand. So the purpose and intent of meditation is to develop the wisdom to free your mind. Nothing else. If you meditate to develop psychic ability, to develop something fantastic so that the ego can be boosted, then that is not the meditation as taught by the Buddha. So nothing frees your mind except wisdom is very important. So whatever you do in the name of meditation, if it does not lead you to the cultivation of wisdom born of the Noble Eightfold Path training, then it's not the meditation as taught by the Buddha. This Noble Eightfold Path under the Fourth Noble Truth as taught by the Buddha. The Buddha said, if you cultivate this Noble Eightfold Path, it will lead to the end of all suffering. Because this Noble Eightfold Path, they have 8 path factors which are very noble in their aspect. They involve your ability to have wisdom, to have all the right thought, right speech, right action, so that you know how to develop the wisdom to live your life. Then it also have all the other noble qualities. With right thought, right speech, right action, you have very noble qualities of mind to arise the appropriate wholesome thought without the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion. Then the way you act, the way you communicate, the way that you arise your speech, they are very noble in the sense that there is no negativity. That's why everything is about right thought, right speech, right action, and the way you live your life, all in accordance with the Dhamma way. That's why it's right living, right livelihood. Then you also have the right understanding to arise the four right effort to constantly purify your mind of all the wrong thought, unwholesome thought. When they arise, away, then develop the wisdom to abandon them. Then after that, when your wisdom stabilizes, you can prevent it from arising. Then the other two right effort, which is third and fourth, they are wholesome right effort. Right effort to cultivate the virtue, the right thought, right speech, right action that are still not in you. Then the last right effort is to refine upon what you have developed All your right thought, right speech, right action, refine upon them and bring them to perfection so that you can develop the purification of action, speech and thought process so that you have noble qualities to live life, to communicate, to act and to understand life. That's why Noble Eightfold Path, they are without negativity, without the evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion. And you cultivate them, it will lead you out of all suffering. It will lead to the end of all suffering. And that is what enlightenment in the here and the now is. So purpose of meditation is to develop the wisdom so that you does not suffer anymore. So that is the meaning. Nothing frees the mind except wisdom. Now I read on. If you have delusion or sakkayadity, self-delusion, you will grasp and cling. Nothing can free you except wisdom. When there is wisdom, the mind is always free and at ease because it is no longer deluded by the phenomenal world of sense experience. The mind is always peaceful and calm and it will not stir anymore. So that wisdom that comes with the understanding is very important. Thought-based meditation cannot develop the penetrative insight or wisdom to liberate the mind. Because the Dhamma is akaliko. Akaliko means it is timeless, beyond thought, beyond time. And the Dhamma is also pachetang, can only be realized by the wise, each for themselves. So this one is a very important understanding. Whatever you develop in the name of meditation, if the understanding that arises is not timeless, is not realizable by the wise, each for themselves, means it don't have the unique characteristics of akaliko and pachetang, then that is not the Dhamma as taught by the Buddha. Because the Dhamma as taught by the Buddha has many unique characteristics. We often chant under the salutation to the Dhamma. The Buddha mentioned, Swakato Bhagavata Dhammo. Well expounded is the Dhamma by the Buddha. Then what are the other characteristics of the Dhamma? Not only is well expounded, the Buddha said this Dhamma is sanditiko, can be realized in the here and the now before one dies. Then this Dhamma is also akaliko. Akaliko, like I have explained earlier on, is the timeless, beyond psychological thinking, beyond thought, beyond psychological time. Then this Dhamma can also be investigated upon. That's why it's ehipasiko. You are invited to investigate into it. And because it is the truth, it stands up to investigation. So this unique characteristics of sanditiko, akaliko, ehipasiko is very important. Then apart from that, there is also another unique characteristic. From sanditiko, it leads inward. So sanditiko, akaliko, ehipasiko, opanayiko means this Dhamma leads inward into your nature at the heart area. That's why it's opanayiko. Then it can only be realized by the wise, each for themselves at the heart level. That's why it is called pachetang. Veditabo Vinohiti. So only the wise can understand and awaken. Then I read on, you will understand better. The Mahayana analogy of the finger pointing towards the moon is very important. The Dhamma is like the finger pointing towards the truth, which is the enlightenment. So to really see the moon, one must look or gaze beyond the finger. Similarly, to realize enlightenment, one must see beyond the Dhamma and not to cling onto the Dhamma. If you attach or cling onto the Dhamma, then your mind cannot be free. But it is still holding on to something. Hence, it's not a free mind. A good example is Sen Siu, who always cling on to the wholesome Dhamma and try to push away the unwholesome Dhamma via his constant polishing of his mind until it shines, so that no dust can align. He has failed to realize the true mind, where he mistakenly or deludedly cling on to the mundane mind, taking it to be the true mind. This delusion has conditioned him to cling onto the wholesome and unwholesome Dhamma, which are a pair of duality created by his own discriminative mind. But Hui Ning, the sixth patriarch who has transcended the Dhamma and realized the true mind, is no longer deluded. Hence, he can understand that originally, that nature has nothing. So where can the dust alight? That is, if there is no discriminative mind with the sakayadity or self-delusion to divide the Dhamma into wholesome and unwholesome Dhamma for it to grasp and cling onto, then there will be no dust, which are the defilements or unwholesome Dhamma. Hence, no more problem or doing is needed anymore, because wisdom free. So to transcend duality, you have to transcend the mundane thinking. You have to understand the profound division created by thought. So this thought, through duality, creates the division, like right and wrong, good and bad, wholesome and unwholesome. Then, like the Buddha explained, when you create one, the other one automatically arises. He taught the monk in Pali, he said, Imas means sati, idang hoti. When this arises, that arises. Imas means angasati, idang na hoti. When this ceases, when you don't create either good or bad, when this duality ceases, the other that manifests also ceases. That's why to cease duality is not to fight duality, not to push away the unwholesome and cling on to the wholesome. To understand that there are duality created by the thought through your own discriminative mind, deluded mind. Why must you discriminate? Because things are just the way they are. No right, no wrong. Right and wrong are relative convention. They are not the ultimate truth. So if it's a convention, then why do we cling? So basically, right and wrong is right according to who? That's why it's not ultimate truth. It's a convention. When you ask that question, right according to who, then you know there are a lot of possibility. According to the deluded one, whatever they do in delusion is right. So right according to them. But nature has its own reality, its own nature's law that governs life and existence, like the law of karma. It's not for you to decide whether it's wholesome or unwholesome. Nature's law decide. Nature decide. So like the Dhammapada verse, the twin verse 1 and 2, our mundane thinking develops the karmic arising. So what happened is, the Buddha said, our mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. When mind arises, all things arise. So this mind, which carries with it the mental intention within, is the cause of karma. That's why he said, it's chitena that I call karma. Chitena is mental intention. So moral causation is karma. It has the moral aspect of right and wrong, which are born of duality. So moral causation created by thought are conventional reality, not ultimate reality. So understand this, then you will understand life. Then you will not be deluded or deceived by the duality created by thought. You must have that direct seeing, the silent mind, to see clearly how thought divides, how thought creates delusion for living beings to grasp and cling. And you must also see the limitation of thought, where thought is a product of our awareness. And it's limited in the sense that from the spacious awareness, you shrink it into a small space. Then you input the content and trigger of a thought. That's why thought is limited by that boundary, that space within which you input your content of consciousness. And it's only within that space it functions. That's why thought cannot see beyond that space. When you are lost in thought, you are not aware of the peripheral of what is the reality within nature. So all this, when you meditate, when you develop the inner awareness, the silent mind, and realize the true mind, then you understand. Okay, now I read on the last part. The last paragraph, not the last part. Mind creates true consciousness following the dwelling of paticca-samuppada. Consciousness is just an image, hence not so real and empty. And because it is constantly arising and passing away, following nature's condition, we will be able to awaken to its impermanent suffering state and non-self or empty nature characteristics of anicca, dukkha, and anatta. If we can just be silently aware within, we are a choiceless awareness of what is. What is the reality. So when you completely silent your mind and observe, you can see all this very clearly. That everything is in a state of flux, constantly arising and passing away, following nature's condition. Or the Buddha called it the paticca-samuppada, dwelling. Avijja-paccaya-sankhara means dependent on ignorance. You create thinking, sankara activity. Then sankara paccaya vijnanam. So thinking is to make contact with the brain. When you make contact with the brain is an organ. That's why I like the physics experiment. When there is contact, it triggers the respective consciousness. So this is thought consciousness, memory. Then after the third link, it will input the content of consciousness and trigger of the five aggregates of forming mind. That's why from avijja paccaya sankara, sankara paccaya vijnana, which is a pure consciousness, then you input your content, it becomes the five mental aggregates of forming mind. That's why you have the namarupa. Yeah. And for namarupa to arise, the thought, there must be sense basis, otherwise it cannot arise. So dependent on sense basis, there arises contact. And dependent on contact, there is feeling. There is also consciousness. Yeah. But the normally thought dimension is upon contact, feeling arise. Then when feeling arise, it conditions craving to arise. Then craving conditions grasping. Grasping conditions becoming. Then they take birth. And with birth comes the whole mess of suffering. This is how the paticca samuppada or dwelling moves. Without sati, you cannot see, you cannot understand this movement. So these are awareness-based wisdom that need to be developed. Okay, we go on to the next session, the next section. 1.2. To be aware and listen from the heart. Forehead is where our brain is. So if we leave from there at the forehead, then it's mainly thought-based, giving rise to mainly knowledge only. That's why your forehead, which is your brain, is where your memory is. And memory can trigger off thought, because basically your thought comes from memory. That's why there is a famous quote by Jaya Krishnamurti, if you silence your mind, you can see thought arise through memory. That's why he used the word, thought is response from memory. So without memory, you cannot create thought. That's a newborn baby, there is no thought. Yeah. Then the next part is the heart. The heart, basically, is not the brain, but it is the seat of consciousness. Where from there, the heartbeat arises, the life force arises, the pounding arises. The life force with the consciousness arises from there, the pure consciousness. That's why that one is capable of awareness, understanding. And initially, without the wrong view, without the wrong thought, without avijja, it is pure. That's why it has the pure conscience, the conscience. And that conscience is very beautiful. But because of thought-based avijja, it triggers the egoic mind that has the sakkayaditti, self-delusion, that condition the three evils of greed, hatred, and delusion to manifest and stir the mind. That's why it can cause emotion. From the pure feeling, you can stir it to become emotion. So emotions are your negative psychological mind states, like your anger, hatred, fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation, phobia, insecurity. All these are the various emotions that manifest from your heart area. So this heart is where the nature or awareness is. So if you live from there, we will use it mainly to feel and to be aware intuitively to arise the wisdom via the direct seeing. So you stay at the heart, which is where your nature and pure awareness is, then you truly live life. But a lot of people cannot do that. Because the mind stir very fast. The mind think a lot, chatter a lot. So when the mind is chattering or thinking, then it's preoccupied with those activities. Hence it's no longer silent and not aware anymore. To see things as they are. Active thinking will make one heedless, that is, lost in thought. Hence, no real wisdom can arise. To have wisdom, one must develop the ability to be aware and listen from the heart without the interference from the brain's conditioning or conditioned thinking, which are your views, opinion, conditioning, and belief system, etc. Thought-based living leads to heedlessness and a lot of negativity, whereas awareness or sati-based living from the heart leads to wisdom. Therefore, stay at the heart. Have love and be loved always. Without the daily mindfulness, there is no real meditation, because wisdom can only arise from the direct seeing via the silent mind in pure awareness. Heedless thinking throughout the day develops strong negative habitual tendency. To overcome the habitual tendency or this heedlessness, one must develop the five spiritual faculties to counter the mental hindrance of mind. The mind sweeping method, to only feel without thought or thinking and relax, is also a very good or useful technique to decondition the heedless thinking or the mind from its daily heedless thinking. We are allowing the mind to settle down to its natural state of silence and stillness every time or every moment of feeling and relaxation will allow us to relax any tension, tightness or stress within our body more and more, because the momentum of thinking will be temporarily disengaged. With a relaxed physical body, it will condition the mind to be at ease and relax, thereby arising the meditative mind. The meditative mind is just awareness, and is basically aware, silent, and without thought. So the pure awareness or essence of mind before the knowing is the meditative mind. Then Dhammapada verse 23, the constantly meditative, ever mindful and steadfast one, they will realize the bond-free supreme Nibbana. That's why you must train the mind to be ever mindful. Then constantly meditative means constantly cultivating the Noble Eightfold Path to develop the wisdom and the understanding. Okay, 1.3, the heart and citta. Somebody asked, Brother Teo, can you explain more about the heart? Is it the same as citta? Then I explain. I say, do not cling on to the words. When you have developed the cultivation correctly, then you will come to understand those related Pali words very clearly. Sometimes they use the word citta, vijnana, and mano, all three terms as synonymous with mind. Mano is commonly used in Dhammapada verse 1 and 2 as the mind that arises to create the citta and the vijnana. The reason why the Buddha say mind is the forerunner of all things, mind is chief, and when mind arises, all things arise. Whereas vijnana is usually taken to mean the pure consciousness or receptacle, which is the last aggregate of mind. Then when one adds in or introduces the content of consciousness, which is Sankara, born of our thought process, it becomes a citta or thought. So the formula is thought or citta is equals to content of consciousness plus the receptacle, the pure consciousness. So when the content went in, it becomes namarupa. So the second aspect of the five aggregates of forming mind, which is the thought, they arise through that. So when you input your content of consciousness into the pure awareness, then it trigger off into a thought. Then in Mahayana, the Mandarin word heart is always called sing. But sing in Mandarin or Mahayana term, they carry two meanings. It can also mean the physical heart, and it can also mean the mind, which can be both the mundane mind or the true mind. That's why Mahayana in the Mandarin form, the words they use, they are more suitable for the spiritual teachings. That's why that word sing has many meanings. It can mean the physical heart, the mundane mind, or the true mind, depending on how you understand it. So here I explain. I said, the heart is the seat of consciousness and is also the gateway to our nature. So if we live from the heart, it means we live with pure awareness before the thinking, the thought process. But the moment we introduce the sankhara or content of consciousness, everything that the mind can do via the brain, then thought or citta will arise. So the user of thought is very important. If the user of thought is deluded, then thought that arises become wrong thought. If the user of thought is wise, without the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, then thoughts become right thought. That's why in the teaching, Noble Eightfold Path, we always talk about right view leading to right thought. So it's the user of thought that is more important. That I put there for more detail, please refer to the recorded talk. So this recorded talk, I will have to explain a bit more. I explain it in much more detail with analogy. So what happens is, when it comes to thought, it is like what we call, our thought is like an instrument for us to use. That's why the use of thought is very important. Like I explained there, if the user has wisdom without delusion, then thought becomes wholesome, right thought, beneficial thought. But if the user of thought is with delusion, avijja, then thought becomes wrong thought. Then it can be very detrimental. It can cause a lot of karmic negativity. Your thought condition, action, speech, and the way you live your life. So what I gave as analogy was like money. Thought is like money, neither good or evil. But if the user of thought and money is evil, then thought and money become evil. It's just like the case of money. You use it to hire assassin to kill, then the user of that money creates negative activity. it become harmful, unwholesome, because the user of thought is deluded, full of ignorance. So when you understand that, then you see clearly. It depends on the user. That's why we have to train ourselves to develop the wisdom so that we can use thought appropriately to arise the appropriate right thought based on our understanding and cultivation. So like money, you use it for charity, use it to help people for the good of the many. Then the user of money has wisdom, has understanding that develop good action, good response to help society, to help humanity. Then money become wholesome, beneficial. So understanding this is very important. It will make us develop the clear understanding that we need to train our mind to understand what constitutes evil and develop the right understanding to arise the appropriate right and wholesome thought so that we will be able to avoid all evil, purify the mind, develop all the wisdom to avoid all evil, do good, and purify the mind, following the advice of the Buddha. Yeah. Then the other analogy that I give is very important. Our form and mind is like a vehicle and tool to let us come to this existential world, to live life. And this physical body is like a vehicle that takes us around. When we need to move around, we can make use of this physical body to move around. It's a vehicle. But the thought is an instrument for us to use to live life, to do whatever we want while in this existential world. Yeah. So the analogy is thought. Let's take, for example, if we have a knife. Yeah. So the appropriate way to use a knife is not to use it to harm yourself, hurt yourself, but use the knife to cut fruits, cut vegetables, to carve and shape beautiful objects and things. But if you use the knife wrongly, to cut yourself, to hurt yourself, to harm others, to hit out at others, that is the wrong way of using that knife. And you can see very clearly that by doing that, the user of that knife is deluded, heedless. How can you use thought so negatively to harm yourself and to harm others? But human being without wisdom, with delusion, basically is using their thought wrongly to harm themselves and to harm others and to hit out at others using wrong thought, that condition, wrong speech and wrong action. We use our thought process wrongly to think the wrong thought. And what are wrong thoughts? Thought that has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and delusion, that condition your fear, your worry, your anxiety, your suffering, your selfishness, your emotional negativity and delusion. And these are all wrong thought. That's why wrong thought that condition your fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow, lamentation, and misery. And this is to use your thought wrongly, to think the wrong thought to condition your negative emotion that leads to tremendous suffering, sometimes even leading to depression, depressive mind state, until they develop the sorrow the lamentation, the hatred, the anger, the jealousy, then the deep resentment, until they cannot take it, until the mental suffering is so severe that it triggers another wrong thought, which is suicidal thought. They feel that life has no more meaning, might as well die. That's why those who go through depression, they have great tendency to have this very, very detrimental or very negative suicidal thought. And this is how, when you develop the clarity of mind to understand all this, you can never do it anymore. How can you be so foolish as to use your thought negatively to harm yourself, hurt yourself, and make yourself so miserable until you want to commit suicide? Then sometimes you use your thought so negatively through hatred, jealousy, violence, to harm people, to kill people, to hit out at people, to arise a harsh speech, the wrong speech, to cause all the jealousy, the division. And this is creating a lot of negative karma, psychological memory that carries with it a lot of negative tendency. And because of that, it triggers off negative mind states that has the tendency to lower your immune system. But these are very negative energy field. The fear, the worry, the anxiety, the sorrow, the lamentation, the hatred, the anger, the violence, the misery. So all this, they are very negative mind state or tendency. And when you keep on holding on to it, it will create more and more negative effect until your immune system breaks down. Then it causes your cells to mutate and develop a lot of what they call disease, or what they call traumatic diseases like cancer, stroke, and even all the what they call HIV or whatever. Your immune system, once lowered and affected, then your cell cannot recuperate. There is no way you can recover or heal. That's why the use of thought is very important. And the other thing that we have to understand is 80% of our body is liquid. Your cells, your blood, your whatever liquid part. Especially your blood, even your sweat and all that, and the water that you drink. These liquid elements, if you have negative energy, the scientists, they analyze the liquid under various conditions. They realize when you have a lot of negative thought, negative emotion, wrong thought, the crystal become like not symmetry, not beautiful. It's like mutated, very ugly. So this is how mutation of cells take place. How all this negative energy field cause your body to succumb to all this immune system breakdown. Then from there, your cell mutate and cause you a lot of suffering, misery. So with all this understanding, hopefully, you wake up and never allow yourself to carry all this wrong thought that will condition your wrong action, speech, and emotional negativity that can bring about tremendous suffering, karmic negativity that caused your karmic downfall to your karmic nature. Then when you understand this, you will avoid Dhammapada verse 1. Then cultivate Dhammapada verse 2, which means you will act, speak and think with a wholesome mind, free of the deluded thinking or delusion of cultivating the negative thought process. Means you will act, speak and think with a wholesome mind that is free of the evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion that will condition happiness in you like the shadow that never leaves you. It said in Dhammapada verse 1, you choose to be heedless, you don't want to train your mind to be heedful, mindful, to develop the wisdom and the right view, then you will act, speak and think with an unwholesome mind that has the evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion. Then you will condition your suffering like the wheel that follows the hoof of the cart. So all this are very clearly spelled out in the Dhammapada verses, the twin verse, verse 1 and 2. Okay, with this, I think we will stop our first session. Then we will have our 45 minutes of awareness-based meditation. So remember the four support. Relax, maintain awareness, stabilize the awareness. Then for those who have stabilized, silence everything, stay at the heart area and use the four support trust. Trust your nature to develop the meditative movement. You just silence everything and develop mindfulness or awareness at your heart area. Feel whatever arises away, if it's heartbeat or any vibration around your heart area, be with it, the awareness and the phenomena as one. Feel it, just silent, feel, until it returns to its original state of stillness, until the activity become more and more quiet, more and more subtle. Then when you are already trained with the wisdom and the understanding, then suddenly one day it will allow you to detect the gateway. When you are without thought, completely without thought, then your wisdom has already reached certain level, then it can allow your mind to settle down on its own and become a free mind without thought, until you realize the pure awareness nature, until your mind has entered sati. Then this mind, which is a silent mind in pure awareness, will detect your nature, the gateway to your nature. Then the fourth support will start to move. Then you will understand many things. Okay, now I let you meditate on your own. Now we come back to our second session, which is meditation reporting, followed by whatever Q&A, question and answer that you have.
Good afternoon, Brother Teo.
Yes.
Today I have some sharing. Today's Brother Teo's sharing give me some understanding of why the Buddha's teaching is ehi pasiko.
Very good.
Can stand up to investigation, yes, and it does not contradict.
Yes.
Okay, I try to, because just now only I realized when I heard the sharing, so my explanation could be a bit confusing.
Never
So
mind.
if Rajya doesn't understand this
Don't
from
worry,
me,
you just
okay?
share. You just share.
Okay. Because I noticed there is similarities in the teaching of Heart Sutra and Six Pachet Sutra.
Yeah, yes.
Yes.
A
The
lot of
first
similarity, yeah.
yeah, the first one I understand is about the Dhamma. The
Yes.
Dhamma part, Heart Sutra mentioned Dhamma is empty.
Yeah.
Empty in the unconditional world, which is the supra mundane side. And also as a mundane people, if cultivate using Heart Sutra, we need the Dhamma for us to learn the understanding
Yeah,
of Heart
yeah, yeah.
Sutra. Then the Dhamma also mentioned in Six Pachet Sutra,
Yes.
whereby just now Varadio mentioned Sun Siu is very clinging to the Dhamma. That's why
Correct.
he
Yeah.
cannot, cross to the other shore, whereby
Correct.
Hui Neng can see the supra mundane
Yeah,
side,
yeah,
the
yeah.
Dhamma is empty. That's why he understand and able to receive the Pratyekshik. So
Got it.
this one helped me to understand actually these two Dhamma, Heart Sutra and Six Pachet Sutra also talk about Dhamma.
Yeah.
There's no contradiction in Buddha's
No
teaching.
contradiction,
Both
yes.
also talking about the same thing. Then
Very good.
second pointers would be the five aggregates.
Yes.
Five aggregates in Heart Sutra mentioned it's empty.
Empty, yes.
Empty. And in Hui Neng Pachet Sutra, Hui Neng will say that there is you should instead produce thought that is nowhere supported, means no dwelling.
Yeah, no dwelling,
No
yes.
dwelling. And that one also refers to as like five aggregates are empty. So with
In
this,
a slightly different sense. Never mind, you continue first. You continue
so
first.
when just now Brother Joe mentioned about Buddha is teaching, Buddha's teaching is ahi passiko. Suddenly
Yeah.
these two sutra come straight off in my mind. Actually, they are sharing about the same
Yeah. Both
understanding.
also they share and explain how the Dhamma can be understood and investigated upon.
Yes,
Because when you realize the truth, it will stand up to investigation. That's why, like you mentioned correctly, the first part, which is about sensuous attachment to duality. That one is the mundane Dhamma that Sunsiu have not penetrated because he has not realized the true mind. So when a person has not realized the true mind, he cannot understand what is beyond mind, beyond thought. Then he cling on to the mundane mind that manifests the duality of wholesome and unwholesome. So this is like what you saw is the mundane Dhamma. That's why when you cultivate correctly, the true Dhamma stand up to investigation and you will penetrate it like Hui Ning. When he realized the supra mundane Dhamma, the unconditioned Dhamma, he penetrated the duality, the mundane aspect. That's why he can say like what you mentioned, Pen Lai Wu Yi Wu. Originally there was nothing. Well, that true mind, that true nature is not a being, is empty. There's nothing inside there. Yeah. Then where can the dust alight, means where can this so-called dust or defilement alight when originally there is nothing for you to create? So if you don't create, there is no light and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant, wholesome and unwholesome. So there is no such thing as defilement and non-defilement. So all these are duality within the conditioned world, the conditioned Dhamma that living beings will have the problem to penetrate unless they meditate and realize the true mind, the silent mind, the unconditioned Dhamma. So this aspect is very good, very true. But your second aspect about the five aggregate is slightly, I think I need to explain it more. You see, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, see, while he was cultivating the Prajnaparamita Sutta, he illuminated the five skanda, and he realized that they are all empty, means empty of characteristics, empty of any tangible entity, which is a permanent unchanging entity. That's why the five aggregates of form and mind, they have the correct characteristics of anicchang, dukkhang, and anatta, which means it is not a permanent unchanging entity. That's why in the penetrative sense, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva realized that it is completely empty, means zhao jian wu yun jie kong. When he illuminated the five skanda, he realized that they are completely empty, not you, non-self, and it is dependent originating, condition arising, causal phenomena, dependent originating. Whereas under the Huining Six Patriarch Platform Sutta, he actually didn't go into the five aggregate. He go beyond the five aggregate. But to him, the five aggregates of form and mind is still within the conditioned world. That's why he got the three hallmarks of Huining. The first hallmark of Huining to develop the real cultivation is Wu Nian. Wu Nian means no thought. No thought means he penetrated beyond the five aggregate. He has realized the true mind. But to him, he has realized the true mind, so his teaching is from there. That's why when he explained to Sun Xiu's disciple who came and see him, he said Sun Xiu's teaching is basically centered on mind, the five aggregates. The Theravada tradition means the sainthood way. But for him, when he teach, he said, whatever Dhamma that you teach, it must not be apart from the true nature. That's why his first, what they call a hallmark of his teaching is, you must realize no thought. No thought is to go beyond thought, akaliko. Understand? That's why the Dhamma, the Buddha say, is akaliko, beyond thought, beyond mind. So you have to transcend thought. That's why Wu Nian De Jing Jie, the first hallmark of Huining is to realize that true mind which is without thought. And when you realize that, then you know what that true mind is and how the mundane mind from that true mind it arises through the process of dependent origination, condition arising, causal phenomena. We live in a conditioned world. There's a conditioned world manifests all this. So Huining, he go beyond thought, then he use the pure awareness nature to see things as they are and understand the conditioned Dhamma. That's why he teach differently. So his characteristics of the Dhamma is akaliko. Akaliko. But just now you try to use the analogy of like thought is like energy. You use the word. Oh, sorry. Nowhere supported, no dwelling. That one is correct. That one is correct. But I think initially you use the word energy, right?
No, I didn't use energy.
Oh, you didn't use the word energy, then I heard you wrongly. No. You mentioned about thought as what already? Huh?
Huineng, very famous in his book, always mentioned that you should instead produce that thought which is nowhere,
nowhere supported is correct. That one is correct. Nowhere supported means without dwelling.
Mm-hmm.
Means the true mind that doesn't dwell means it is without what they call atta to dwell. Without what they call egoic entity to dwell. Means that pure awareness nature doesn't dwell. It is just aware, specific phenomenal awareness or spacious awareness without a center. But it doesn't mean that the five aggregate are empty, means thought is like without anything. That aspect is different. But without dwelling, nowhere supported is correct. That one is correct. So if you use it in that sense, then it is correct. So just now maybe I heard you wrongly. I heard you talking about thought as energy. So that part, maybe I heard you wrong. Don't worry. Later on the recording, I listen again. that I can explain to you again. Because when you use your word, I heard like you explain as thought as energy, which is also not wrong. It's energy. From energy, it manifests. Because the pure awareness nature is actually like electricity, understand? Energy. Without its content, understand? But when its content went in, then that energy become like with the content, it has its moral causation. Means wholesome and unwholesome. So when that one manifests, it becomes a thought. And that thought is the second aspect of the five aggregates of form in mind. Then the other aspect of ehipasiko is it stand up to investigation, means you can use sati to investigate into the Dhamma. Where Dhamma is basically truth. And what are truth? Not only the Four Noble Truths. You can even investigate into the First Noble Truth, the Eight Reality. How it manifests and become the First Noble Truth. The Noble Truth of Dukkha means there is this Noble Truth that explains what Dukkha is, the prevalence of suffering. Suffering is everywhere where you don't have the wisdom as taught by the Buddha to understand life, to understand this teaching. Means when you confront life, especially the eight realities, the first seven in particular, without the Dhamma understanding, you will suffer, you will attach, you will cling deludedly through sakayadity. That's why in the final summary, he said, in short, it is due to one's sakayadity, self-delusion, that will condition living beings to grasp and cling onto the five aggregates of form and mind. And that grasping aggregate is dukkha, which is true. When you grasp, means true avijja, true ignorance, and you are conditioned suffering. But if you have the Dhamma understanding, the wisdom that can liberate the mind, then this eight reality will not have any problem when you confront them. Means you know that they are realities of life and existence. Each and every living being who live long enough, when they encounter them or when they go through life, they will experience all this reality. Then when this reality manifests, they will understand that these are reality that is common to all living beings. If you attach, you suffer. If you don't attach and accept them as reality, then you don't have to suffer. That's why the Buddha asks us to contemplate the five daily contemplation. He said this body of ours is of the nature to grow old, get sick and die, for it has gone the way of nature. It is only element without any knowing. That's why it's subject to nature's law. you will experience old age, sickness, and death. But because it is not you, that's why you can transcend and go beyond birth, old age, sickness, and death. Because this pertains to the aggregates of form, the physical body, all other physical phenomena. They have these characteristics. They go the way of nature. And they are subject to all this reality. So when we understand, then we can come to terms with this reality. Body is just a body. It goes the way of nature. It's not me. That's why it will go through and experience old age, sickness, and death. And finally, it will disperse. That's why the Buddha liberated when he realized that the physical body is not him, but only a condition arising phenomena for him to come to this existential world to perform his duty as a living being or a human being. In this case, he is born as a Sammasambuddha, Sakyamuni Buddha, in his final birth 2600 years ago. So when he realized that, that understanding liberates him, and he no longer has any problem with regards to oasing, where this physical body is not him. Then the fourth contemplation is about separation. Whatever the deluded living being believe that they own, you believe this body belongs to you, you will suffer. You worry about it getting old, getting sick and die. You believe all the things that you own, your loved one, your possession, your wealth, your property, your career, your title, or things that you hold on to dearly, your possession, whatever that you hold on to dearly. The Buddha said, these are all condition arising phenomena. They come and they go, dependent on condition they arise. When conditions cease to be, they cease to be. They never belong to you. Basically, he even say, for that physical body also doesn't belong to you. Wherein son, wherein loved ones, wherein wealth, wherein all this. These are all delusion. Not what you think. Then the last one, the fifth daily contemplation, is about the last of the five daily contemplation is about the law of karma. We are all born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned, supported by, and we are what we are because of karma. So when he proclaimed this, you can put it to test, you can investigate on it, whether his words are true or not. Whether this body is really a permanent, unchanging entity where you can cling on to, hold on to, grasp on to and say, this is me, this is I, therefore all this can be mine. No such thing. When you are mindful and aware, you will come to realize, without thought, you are nothing. You are nobody. So if the thought also has its characteristics of anicchang, dukkha, anatta, not a permanent, unchanging entity, then how can it be you? That's why the Heart Sutta also realized that the five aggregates of form and mind, they are all empty. No reality within. Empty nature existence, not a permanent, unchanging entity. So the form and mind is the first aspect as a human being. The second aspect is the thought, the five aggregates. It's the same. And you can put the test. Yeah. Then after that, Dhammapada verse 1 and 2 also, you can put to test. If you act, speak, and think with an unwholesome mind that has the evil roots of greed, hatred, and evil, did you suffer? You can find out. Then the five precepts also same. Those who violate the precept commit major evil. You can put it to test. Then the five daily contemplation, the last one, the fifth one, you can also put it to test. Whether you are really born of your karma, heir to your karma conditions, and you are what you are because of karma. If you don't take care of karma, you check, you suffer. Because this powerful truth with regards to a law of karma, they are eternal truth. So when you are born of your karma, heir to your karma, condition is supported by your karma, and you are what you are with your karma. If karma plays such a great role in your life, you don't take care of karma, what will happen to your life? You will suffer. You don't believe, you put it to death. You live a heedless life. No need to take care of your mind. Yeah. Then find out. Means, let karma take its course. Dhammapada verse 1, take its course. Then you see whether it's true or not, whether you suffer or not. Yeah. So, when you investigate into all the essential Dhamma, then you realize keeping the precept is to avoid major karma. It's very true. If that is true, the rest will be true. So you can investigate into all this. Then you can investigate into the other essential Dhamma, the five spiritual faculty, the five mental hindrance. You can put it to test. The three evil root, root of all evil, you can put it to test. It will stand up to investigation. So that aspect of ehi patsiko is like very clear everywhere in the teaching. But to investigate, you need sati, you need mindfulness. That's why now with your present condition, after you have developed some form of Dhamma understanding and cultivation, then you start to see how all this Dhamma that can be investigated into stand up to investigation. That's why it's ehi patsiko. But for you to link to the Heart Sutta and the Six Patriya Platform Sutta is already very good. Well, most people will not go and investigate that one first. They will investigate the more basic essential Dhamma first. But for your condition, it's already very good. Wai Fan, sadhu to you.
Thank you, Brother Tim.
Then you continue, sorry. Anything
then,
else?
Then another one is, because after the Cameron retreat, I don't know why after I come back, it really prompt inside me to read about Vietnam, is it?
Very good, sadhu. Then so you I, like to read the Six Patriya Platform Sutta.
Yeah, so
very good.
I read the book from your website.
Very good.
Yeah, yes. That's why maybe recently I read some of Heart Sutra, then I read some of Six Patriya book. That's why it comes to this kind of understanding,
it will
how
help you a lot.
It crossed understanding in me.
And as you read more of the book, the Six Patriya Platform Sutta, you will understand a lot of things. But there are a lot of examples inside there. Especially the Zen story about Bodhidharma one.
Yes. Very interesting also.
You must understand mind, he said. The basis behind cultivation. Xing Wei Gen Ben. You know Mandarin, isn't it?
No, I don't know.
Oh, you don't know Mandarin?
I don't know.
Xing is mind. Mind, Wei Gen Ben means you start with mind as the basic foundation of understanding. From mind, the whole teaching arises. If you don't even know your mind, then you cannot penetrate the Dhamma. So, what happened is, the Bodhidharma, actually, he went to the one of the temple, because he was invited as an ambassador to come to China, and the emperor received him. But that monastery he went to, I think, looked down upon him. Because when they saw him coming, he don't have a delegation with him, no. He just have a robe and very simple. The shoe also like, because after walking for so long, they're not impressive at all. Understand? So they like sort of look down upon him. Then they thought they very good, they very proud. So one day They got a meditation session inside there, inside one of the temple area. Then there was a monk that guarded that place. Only serious monk that can meditate can allow to be in attendance or allow to be in to join them. So when Bodhidharma want to walk in and join, that monk stopped him. No? Then he said, inside is meditation session and all those things. Then Bodhidharma said, okay, he also wants to join in. Then he allowed him in. So when they were inside, they have this understanding. The first person to make a noise or to say something breaks the silence. So they were meditating inside there. But Bodhidharma, being a special being, being a great being that has the penetrative understanding, knew that they were meditating wrongly. So what happened was they sit, but most of the Mahayana monks inside there, they were having problems, struggling. Then suddenly, middle of the night, there was a very strong wind. And then it moved the window. Then there was very loud sound. Then one of the monks who was sitting there, I think he was frightened by that phenomena or movement. Then he started to express it. Then he said, "You out," he said, "you already make noise." Then another say, "You also make noise." Also out. Then the rest continue to sit. Then what happened was, later on, Bodhidharma himself make noise, but he didn't speak. He actually moved his cup, the glassware where he used to fill the cup. So he moved and created the sound. Then I think one of the senior monks, he said, "You also make noise," he said. Then he said, "What are you doing?" Then Bodhidharma said, "He's trying to polish the glassware until it become a mirror." Then all the monks laugh at him. No? He said, "It must be crazy. How can the glassware become a mirror?" And you know what Bodhidharma replied or not? He said, "In the same way, similar way." And what did Alicia write in Mandarin? "Oh, this is polish the glassware until it become a mirror."
Yeah, 是的，Brett，磨
啊，
瓦
是
的，
的，
磨那个
磨，
纯
呀
净，
呀，他的华语字你读出来。
啊，磨瓦纯净。
啊，磨瓦 the glassware 纯净啊，then after that，
哦，这个
大
是
摩祖
达
师
摩祖师。
correct correct。So that was the analogy. Then he laughed at those monks. He said, "This is to give you the hint that what you all do is like what he is trying to tell you. You cannot polish the glassware until it become mirror. By sitting there silently, without verbalizing, you think you are meditating because your thought is actually running around heedlessly, lost in thought. Wow, chattering, verbalizing, cannot settle down because they fail to understand mind." Then finally, I think the old monk, senior monk, knew and asked him for guidance. "Then how do you meditate?" He said, "Start with mind. Sing wei gen pen." Well, that was very beautiful. He said, "You must understand that there are two minds. One is the true mind. The other one is the mundane mind that arise from the true mind. And how it manifests the moral causation through your content or consciousness when you input them and created the karmic process. That's why he said that mind is the forerunner of all things, mind is chief. When mind arises, all things arise. But in Mandarin, he used it in the explanation differently. Each year, everything is mind make. They use the word mind make. Are they? Wei xing zao, xing zao chen. So if mind make are they, then it's exactly like what Sakyamuni Buddha is teaching. Mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. When mind arise, all things arise. Means everything arises from the mind. So when you understand this, you choose the care mind, like my teacher mentioned. That's why that teaching starts. And that is based on right view regards to the law of karma. So if you don't start with mind, you don't silence to realize the true mind, actually you cannot start meditating. You cannot see the movement from the true mind into the mundane mind that created the moral causation and started the karmic process and the evolution of humanity, living beings. Then you cannot understand the conditioned mind. You cannot understand how the conditioned world is what it is. That's why all the subsequent teaching, whether Diamond Sutta, each year you wait for, Zhu Meng Huan Pao Yin, Zhu Lu Wei Lu Tian, Ying Zuo Lu Si Guan. All this, they arise to the conditioned Dhamma understanding. That's why through this conditioned Dhamma understanding, they penetrate and they realize the truth. Then they come out with the teaching. That's why Diamond Sutta is a very powerful teaching. Yeah. And all those are expression of truth by great beings, cultivator of the way. So for you, Wai Fan, is very good. You continue to read those transcripts that I have came out with, or if there is no transcript, you just listen to the Six Patriarch Platform Sutta sharing all the various lessons. But a lot of the Six Patriarch teaching has been converted into transcript, and there are many copies of them. So if you want the hard copy, you can get from me. I still have them. But the soft copy is in the website.
Read the soft copy.
You read the soft copy. Good enough. But one of this Tuesday when you come, you want to collect the hard copy, you can. You better have a set there so that your son also can have a look if he is interested. Chan also can read it.
Yes, yes.
You can put it into your bookshelf there with your Dhamma books. And they are very good penetrative Dhamma. A full set of the collection is very good. And also the last three books that I share at the retreat, together the Heart Sutta, then the Bodhisattva Way, and many other essential Dhamma transcripts, the five aggregates of form and mind, etc. When you have them, it will be very useful, very helpful. And of course, from the website, easier, you retrieve it. But when you see the hard copy, it's more interesting in the sense that you can take it out and flick through it. Whereas if it's soft copy, unless you are very familiar with the digital book or this e-book, for normal people, not so easy. We are most cultivator the way they are not savvy in ID. They are not like Jin Hao, that generation, the younger generation that can read ebook and digital copy and all those things. For us, we are the old school, so we normally prefer Hard copy.
copy. Actually, I
Yeah.
also prefer the hard copy. I like to
Ah, good.
collect
Ah,
books,
good. Coming,
collection
coming,
of
coming,
books.
coming. Yeah.
Okay.
So very good. Yeah, continue.
Then, Brother, I have this meditation with Dr.
Can
Because recently I
you share?
mentioned about my meditation that have this heat coming from my palm and go to my chest. Then I follow Radio's advice to relax into it
Yes.
and radiate metta. So I do exactly that. I radiate metta. Then the heat dissolve lah.
Oh,
It
very good.
dissolve. But then it happens two occasion very funny. When I try to radiate metta, then I radiate metta to my husband lah, because we were also meditating together. He
Yeah.
immediately coughed.
Oh, that one nothing
I
to
think
do
it
with your
nothing to do with mine because it
nothing to do with
happened
your metta
twice.
one. Don't
Nothing
worry.
ah, because it
Nothing to do
happened
with your metta.
twice. Then I feel
Never mind. Don't
I
worry.
shouldn't
Nothing
do
to
it
do.
anymore.
No,
Nothing to do lah.
nothing to do with your metta. Your
Okay.
metta actually will radiate this type of positive energy. But there is one thing that I must let you understand. When you cultivate, as you progress,
Okay.
sometime, this thing will come and test you. It will create doubt in you. Then
Wow.
the test you cannot pass, you will get stagnant there. Not much harm, but you will get stagnant there. It will come and test you. So, like in this case of radiating metta, your thought will tend to like let you associate with the cough. Why every time you radiate metta, it happens? So when your doubt linger and you cannot pass it, then it will continue to trap you, means stagnate you. Then you create what we call fear or insecurity in you, means the lack of faith, understand? Or doubt in you. And that one is actually one of the five mental hindrance, doubt. The lack of faith is doubt. So skeptical doubt. So that one will actually prevent advancement or prevent progress. The word is progress. So you don't worry. When this thing happen, it's usually just a condition to test your faith, to test your understanding. Because when you radiate metta, if you understand, it cannot create coffin. What happens is when you radiate metta, you must do it with understanding. May I, this body and mind of mine, you start with yourself, be well and happy. You feel the well-being and happiness in your heart. May it too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May it keep itself happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be joy. All these are positive mind state, no? You feel it. Then you try to, like the book mentioned, invoke this metta in you. Like you develop the metta force by imbuing your heart with metta. Metta is without enmity. Metta is love, like a mother's love, that transcend everything. Well, the mother can sacrifice. When they love their children, they go all out to protect them, and provide them with whatever they need, and prevent them from suffering, unnecessary suffering and misery. So all this, that as you radiate more and more metta and love, like nature. Nature has great love and kindness. Nature give and give. Nature never take. So all this will imbue your nature until the metta start to overflow. You have that metta book that I wrote. Oh, you didn't get from the website. Sui will dig it out, then after that show it to you, the metta book. He will
Okay,
pin
I
it.
read the meta book.
You read the metta book, that one very helpful. Then it will imbue that type of metta in you. Then when you have metta, it like overflow. Overflow. Then you can read it. Then that time, you visualize your husband. Then you radiate a radiant smile. Then you channel your metta towards him. He can feel you on. Then when you channel it to living beings, all may all beings within the vicinity of the house, your resident, may they all to be well, and they can feel you on. The non-humans, the animals, whatever. That way your metta become very strong. You have this progress in metta. Initially, it's like you need words to formulate it. You verbalize, you need words to formulate. Then you feel, like I say feel. From feeling, you start feeling. Then that feeling become enhanced. Like you say, may I, this body and mind of mine, be well. You feel the well-being and happiness. Then this loving-kindness energy build up. Then when you continue, may it too be without enmity, without ill will, means without the negative thought. Then it will enhance the metta. Then may it too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May it keep itself happy and peaceful always. May there be love. You feel the love inside. May there be joy and may there be peace deep within you. So when you feel all this, your metta build up. Initially is from the feeling part. You verbalize and create the feeling of metta. Then when this metta become like very strong, when you imbue your entire thought process with a lot of metta, it's like that metta force overflow from your heart. Then during that time, surprisingly, you will know how to radiate it out. Then when you drive and radiate this metta force out, that is still involving the thought, but it's pure thought, wholesome thought. Then you visualize whoever you want to radiate to. Then you radiate a radiant smile. Then you radiate that metta from your whatever feeling that has developed the metta force. So you radiate it from your heart. Means you try to like send the energy out, the metta. Then you use the same word, may my husband, or you call him whatever, also be well. You feel the well-being and happiness inside his body and mind when you radiate. May he too be without enmity, without ill will and trouble. May there be love, may there be joy, and may there be peace deep within his heart. And then you continue to read it. Then later on, when your metta become very strong, you can sense an energy inside you. That the energy, the metta energy is very strong. Then later on, and you become very skillful and very advanced, when you have a lot of metta already, this metta from your nature can come out. That one very powerful. You can do that, I will start to you. But that one, there is a very soothing energy, metta energy from the nature, without you verbalizing or no, without you like radiating or no, it just come out. From that nature, it just come out. Very soothing one. A type of energy come out. But of course, it will follow you. Without word, you will radiate on. And from that nature, it come out. And when it come out, all the non-human, even the animals, the snake or whatever, they can sense your metta energy. Yeah. That was the one I told you in Australia, the dog. He can sense. But at that time, my metta very strong. Then when I was in the university also, I meditate until my metta very strong. Then I tested it. I read it to somebody walking towards me. I know he was lost in thought, no, thinking. Then suddenly, when he near me, he sensed something. No? Then from that lost in thought, he was thinking, he looked at me, then he smiled. Then I knew already, the metta has an effect. Then he just have that joy. And he walked by, but he cannot understand why he do that. So I thought maybe in front easier. So the next one I tried was, I was behind somebody. Then I radiate metta to that person. You know what happened? That person was also lost in thought. But suddenly he felt something at his heart. Then he turned around and looked at me. He was behind. He was in front of me. I was behind. He turned and looked at me and smiled. Then I smiled back and I read it. Then he felt very funny. He cannot understand why he do. Well, his nature sense feel. That's why in Australia the dog, they can sense my metta. And the dog was very far away, about 100 over meter away. Then he give a like a, I don't call it a struggle. He like take off. Then the owner with the, you call it, that strap the dog one, leash. The leash. Suddenly the leash slipped from his hand. And that dog, very big dog, rushed towards me, but I can sense it, from far I saw. Then I saw the fur, everything come out. I can feel the joy in that dog, so strong. But the owner panicked, thought he attacked me, So he came all the way, Then when he reached me, he stopped in front of me, with the fur, everything, the joy, everything. Then I stroked the dog's head. Then I knew already. I said, good dog, sadhu. Then the owner came. He said, who are you? I thought my dog was attacking you. I said, don't worry, good dog. Good dog. Then the owner cannot understand. Then he looked. Then after that, he wants to bring the dog away already. He said, come, go. The dog refused to go. The dog stayed there. Look at me with all the joy and everything. Then I stroke the head again. I say, go. Then he followed him. Then on the way back, again, the dog came. But this time, the owner not panic. He let the dog come. Then I told the owner, I say, very good dog. Very big, that dog, almost as tall as me, when he arrived in front. Really, that one is like attacking dog or what. Very fierce dog, but very good dog. Full of fear, fur and all those things. This is the book. Okay, you can see, right? Wait, Sui share. Okay. Wi-Fi.
Okay.
I will pass you when you come.
Okay.
I will pass to you. Metta Bhavana, meditation on loving kindness. I forgot. If you need Metta book, you all can get from me. This one I combined the earlier two book that somebody wrote in the younger days. I find it useful. Then I compiled it and edited some of it and improved on it. And you use this to develop the metta. They got all the various way to develop metta. This one is from the sutta, the teaching. So it's a very useful book. Okay, you continue. Wai Fan.
Actually, just now, Virgil, when saying radiate metta to beings, I may want to ask one silly question.
Don't worry.
If we radiate metta, then the other beings, the unseen beings, will they come?
They won't come and disturb you. No, they will help to protect your house. They will develop a lot of joy. All these betas, they actually need metta. You heard from those cultivators or not? When you go certain places, they need merits, So they ask for merits or no. But metta not only help all these peta beings or what, they help a lot of beings to develop a lot of joy. Most of them are moody one, not happy one, their mind state. That's why all the Later on, not only this non-human, the Dhamma protector, or they will rejoice on, because they will receive your this type of metta. They can feel you on. So you don't worry. All these things that they tell you attract is negative energy. If you have negative energy, you will attract this type of beings. Then they will create an eerie feeling for you. That one is different. Don't worry. When you radiate metta, when you cultivate, these non-human, they will know. They actually like you and they like to serve you. And they like to stay around your house, protect you. Then of course, when you have this ability to radiate, especially if your house got this ancestor tablet, you all know what is it, an ancestor tablet?
Zhokong.
Zhousin. Zhousin.
Yes.
Means the ancestor's tablet. Most Chinese house they have, where they invite their ancestors passed away already to actually come in to have a dwelling, like a place for them to. And this one is very true. No? You know what happened? Last time when I started the meditation long time ago, then in between there was one lady among us, who I told you, also like initially don't know how to meditate, gong gong, don't know anything. But suddenly when the time come, one day he heard my teacher Achanyantra told him, because like I shared with you all, he normally don't attend lay people's house dana, that teacher. The Thai teacher Achanyantra. But in Malaysia that year, he agreed to let me hold house dana, and he came. No, in fact, three of us requested from Brahmananda for him to come to our house to have house dana. Ramayana came back, he was very surprised. He told the other two, don't misunderstand it. I never favor anybody. I request equally. But he only agreed to come to Brother Teo's house. He also doesn't know why. Then, of course, everything settled. Then he came to my house. Then when he came to my house, this lady, because he got faith and very close to me, he also want to invite. Then, because of certain other thing also, then later they offer a piece of land in Melaka Asahan to my teacher, the Achanyantra. And because of that, he also requested for house dana. Then somehow Achanyantra agreed. Then that day he prepared, he did until very tired. Then before he left her house, Dana, you know what he told her? No? He said, Nancy, you have enough parami. Your parami is already very, very full. Now you must meditate. He don't understand. No? He came and asked me. That means it's time for you to meditate. La. You better meditate. He said he cannot meditate. He used to do the vipassana type. He check in morning, afternoon check out. Yeah, he cannot take it. He said like a zombie inside there, walking. He doesn't know how to do. Then I said, no need to do that type of meditation. You do what you know. Then my that teacher teach anapanasati. I said, you try anapanasati. And you know what happened? After that, he really tried. Then the husband also panicked. Yeah, he can meditate so well after that one session in one sitting. His past came back to her. All the jhana, 1 to 4, or later on, all the 8 jhana came back to her. And she can do the astral traveling. The mind can come out one, and at night, he can roam one. Then there was an incident where she told me, the father was flying to China, on the airline. Then he meditated that night. Then he saw the father on the plane. He was there. Then he used the astral traveling to actually roam around. He go to Brickfield Temple. He went everywhere. Then you know what he told me? He came to my house. He said, there are a lot of devas or dharma protectors. Stop her from going in. Cannot go in. Then my mother also told me when I was, I think, when I was about to get married, because she went and see a medium. My father got an operation that time when I was very young. I was in Form 1. Then the medium suddenly, another being take over, and a voice, different one, arise. And you know, according to my mother, she also got a shock, but that being that went into the medium was her father-in-law, already passed away. Then he told my mother, he said, you know what happened or not? Why your husband has to go through the operation? He said, it's because my father, when he was young, my father was the eldest, then he got a younger brother, but very young he passed away, Then this brother cannot really have proper rebirth. I think he was born as a beta. But he cannot enter my father's ancestor tablet house. Everywhere he cannot enter. They don't allow him to enter. But he made one request. He said, if you agree, then your husband will recover within don't know how many days. Really happened exactly. Then the operation successful. Then what happened was, he said, my mother got 9 children. I'm the number 2. But he insists. He said, must be me. Become the, like, you call what? KKI is what? God son. Correct, got such English word. Not got son, I think. Kekia in English is what? He said, must care to him so that he become the godfather. He become the godfather. I become the Kekia. Got son, okay. He become the godfather so he can come into my house, he said. Otherwise, he cannot come into my house. They need relationship and all those things. And it must be official, he said. He said, during my marriage, officially facing that direction, he got mentioned one direction, and recite it, he said, exactly those words that he mentioned. And my mother did it, and I was there. And I also agree. Then after that, no more problem. My father recovered, I grew up, then until I get married, then everything was done. That's why my house, ancestor tablet, very special in this place. Because before I bought this house, somebody who got this ability to see psychic ability, one lady also, he came to my house. Then suddenly, he looked at that place. He said, this place is a very special place. He said, this place, the beings here, he said, they like you, he said. That's why this house is like meant to be. Then he said, I will invite 3 monks to have house dana. And really 3, My Thai teacher, then my second last teacher, then there was another American monk. I think the American monk, Bhante Vimalasi, Vimalaramsi, passed away already. Yeah. He was from Australia. Yeah. They call it the Dhammasuka founder website. The temple is Dhammasuka. So all this really happened now. Then when I bought the house, I put the ancestor tablet there. Then I have the altar there. Then I also put the Sifang Sanson all there. Then every New Year or what, we will make offering and all that. Then my class, I read it, metta, all those things, sharing of merit. Beautiful. They receive and they are like, have that understanding or not. That's why they will rejoice, they will protect this place, and they will actually stay with joy and harmony. That's why when you have the Dhamma, when you have Metta, when you have all this understanding, you will do well. Yeah? And all these are things that really can happen. That's why the ancestor tablet is very useful. They can actually come in and stay. So you invite them, no problem. You don't worry, because when you have the Dhamma, when you every time share merit, transfer merit, idang menya tinang hotu, they receive one. Then when you ready metta, when you cultivate, then they like places which are very conducive. Don't have all those other type of beings that can come and disturb them. It's like a house that is peaceful. They love it. And they actually have a lot of joy and understanding, because not easy to have a place or dwelling which is like not disturbed by people. A very conducive and peaceful dwelling. Oh, I have to end already. Yeah, 6:10. I'm sorry, Wai Fan. Okay.
Thank you, Brother Teo.
We better end. So you read this book. Eh?
Okay. Thank you, Brother Teo, for sharing.
The ancestors tablet actually very useful. So don't worry about people tell you you attract all those non-human. Don't worry. Only the good one will be around to protect you. And they will rejoice. Eh? As long as you have goodness of heart, kindness, Dhamma, you don't worry. Do good because good, do evil. No, don't have fear, negative thought, then everything will be beautiful. Okay, let us now rejoice with all the good sharing. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, then we share merits. Akka satta cha pumata deva naga mahindika punyang tang anumoditva chirang rakkhantu loka sasana. Etta vata jamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang me nyatinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatheyo idang me nyatinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatheyo idang me nyatinang hotu sukhita hontu nyatheyo Devo vasatu kalina sasa sampati hetu cha fito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhammiko imina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo sattang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya sadhu sadhu Sadhu. Okay. Now you can mindfully pay respect to Lord Buddha, Kunyin Bodhisattva, and the worthy ones. Then we end. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.